Saints fans, Pelicans fans, let's go. This is the Black and Blue Report. Black.
Reeves going to go deep. He's got Graham. Touchdown.
Blue.
Down the lane. Shoots. No. Tip follow in for Davis. With 3/10 of a second left.
Welcome into the podcast for the fans. Straight from the teams they love.
It's good to see you guys. Yeah. And I didn't know we had Studio B here in our facility. Good setup.
Now that I know where your guys' little office is, I can pop in here whenever I want.
Well, we're playing through AD. And so everybody's going to have to adjust to that.
Coaches, players, analysts, celebrities, and more.
That guy's Anthony Mackie.
I've gotten in many of arguments about the Pelicans and the Saints over the years.
Harry Connick Jr. joins us here on the Black and Blue Report.
Undoubtedly, to me, the Saints are the singular reason that New Orleans is back on the map.
Hoda Kotb from the Today Show on NBC, our guest.
You know, New Orleans gets in your blood. The Saints never leave it once they get in there.
This is the Black and Blue Report, straight from the source. No appointment radio, wherever, whenever. Now, from Studio B, or from wherever the Saints or Pelicans might be, here's Daniel Sellerson.
What's up, and welcome into the Friday edition of the Black and Blue Report. I'm Daniel Sellerson, filling in for Sean Kelly, who is on his way to Indianapolis, where the Saints will take on the Colts tomorrow night. I'm so excited that it's Friday. I don't know about you, but I am ready for the weekend, and I'm ready for a little football tomorrow night. The Saints and Colts will take the field tomorrow at Lucas Oil Stadium for preseason game number 3. If you're going to pick a preseason game to watch, I would say this is the one. Week 3 of the preseason is when the starters get the most snaps, and with two great offenses like the Saints and the Colts, it should be a good game to watch. Tonight's game will be nationally televised on CBS, not on CST. Ian Eagle and Dan Fouts will have the call for CBS. Of course, John DeShazer and Sean Kelly will have plenty of coverage on NewOrleansSaints.com. The Saints did practice yesterday indoors and closed to the public. Drew Brees was out there looking good and is expected to play tomorrow night. Here are some of his goals for tomorrow night's game.
Look sharp, make good decisions, score points. I feel like we get good tempo and rhythm going in the game.
Like I mentioned before, this is a game where starters will play more snaps and try to implement some of their game plan for the regular season. Brees talks about the importance of this game against the Colts.
It is important. It is important. That's why I want to play well. I want to get out there and feel comfortable. And I feel like, this week has been great just to, get back out and feel like I'm, throwing the ball like I should. And now it's just time to take it to the, the game field and go through this final dress rehearsal before the season.
As most of you know, number 9 has not played in a preseason game this season due to a left oblique strain. So one reporter asked yesterday if he has shaken off the rust since returning to practice.
I don't know about shaking off the rust. Maybe just a, anytime you're coming off an injury that was directly related to you throwing, there's this ramp up that takes place, So obviously I didn't want to push it too hard, too fast, because I didn't want to take any unnecessary chances with it. So just kind of that progression, each day of, okay, I can do a little bit more. I can kick up the volume, kick up the intensity. And then finally, when you're out here again, I'd say the first day or two, you're a little bit, how's it feeling on every throw? And after a while, you're like, come on, man, forget it. Just play ball. And I'm at that stage right now.
Just
playing ball.
Brees had an outstanding college career at Purdue, which is about an hour from Indianapolis, and is looking forward to getting back to Indiana this weekend.
Yeah, well, never played in Lucas Oil, other than, we went up there in 08 to evacuate from one of the hurricanes and practiced in that facility, but never played a game or anything like that there. So that element and, going back an hour from Purdue, pretty cool. So I know there's a lot of Purdue folks in the crowd, even though they'd be wearing blue and white.
It'll be nice to see Mr. Brees out there tomorrow night against Indy. We have a good show for you today. We'll continue to preview tomorrow night's game. We'll give you analysis from both sides. John DeShazer from NewOrleansSaints.com will help me preview the Saints side of things. And Bob Kravitz from WTHR 13 in Indianapolis, who covered the Colts for the Indianapolis Star for 14 years, will come on and give us his take from the Colts' perspective. There's also some basketball to talk about, with Team USA suiting up tonight in another exhibition game against Puerto Rico, which means another chance to see Anthony Davis. Jim Eichenhofer from Pelicans.com will talk a little Team USA and break down the Pelicans preseason schedule that was released yesterday at Pelicans.com. So let's get started with a Saints preview of tomorrow night's game. John DeShazer will join me next on the Black and Blue Report.
Pelicans head coach Monty Williams, Anthony Davis, and your Pelicans have been working throughout the offseason to take this team to the next level. Ticket plans for the 2014-15 season are on sale now. There's a variety of packages for all fans, featuring half season and 12-game options, including the ever-popular weekend plan that averages a couple of games a month. Packages start as low as $185. Visit Pelicans.com or call 525-HOOP and take flight with your Pelicans today.
Fans, cheer on your Pelicans as they play their final preseason game against the Dallas Mavericks at the CenturyLink Center in Bossier City on Thursday, October 23rd. Prices start at just $9 from www.ticketmaster.com. While in town, enjoy the opening weekend of the State Fair of Louisiana, our numerous casinos, including the world-famous Horseshoe Casino and Hotel. Check out hotel packages for the game and other things to do at shreveport-bossier.org or call 888-45-VISIT.
Welcome back to the Black and Blue Report. Here's Daniel Salerson.
Well, it's the day before a Saints game, which means it's time to bring in the big gun to talk about it. Joining me in Studio B is Saints senior writer John DeShazer. JD, always a pleasure having you on, my friend.
Is that big gun or pop gun? I'll take either. Well, you know.
Whichever one you want.
I'd rather be the big gun, but I'll take pop gun. I'll take any kind of gun right now.
How about top gun?
Even better.
Top Gun John DeShazer in Studio B previewing Saints-Colts tomorrow night. Well, JD, two preseason wins is a good sign, but both of them didn't really look the same. The first one versus the Rams looked a lot better than the second one against the Titans.
Well, the first one was a little cleaner, even though Coach Payton didn't necessarily like the 10 penalties. The other one, the second one, when it jumped up to 22 penalties, was really just a sloppy ball game from that standpoint. And some of them were penalties that I like to call, you know, low football IQ, just things that shouldn't happen. And the other ones were, you know, going along with the infractions that have been going along this entire preseason, where you have the illegal contact downfield, or you have the hand to the head penalties on the line, points of emphasis that you figure either the players will adjust to or the officials will kind of backtrack from a little bit when the regular season starts, because right now the games are simply too long. But the second game was really it dragged out because of all the penalties, and it was a game that Coach Payton was extremely, you know, he was not livid, but he was broiling a little bit because of all the penalties.
So what are some of the points of emphasis for Sean Payton looking into Saturday's game against Indianapolis?
Well, you got to clean up the penalties. I think he'll be looking at that first and foremost. And second, this being the third preseason game, this is the closest approximation to a regular season game that the Saints will have and most NFL teams will have. So you want to go out and you want to have some good offensive and defensive efficiency. I know defensively they have given up, you know, early scores in the first two preseason games. They did the exact same thing last year, actually, before they kind of gelled and figured it out. You hope that wouldn't be the case this year, where they have a slow start. But even then, the number one defense has given up those early scores, but then they've kind of rebounded. Offensively, they want to have a little bit of efficiency simply because, you know, in both units, they're not going to be on the field that long. It is the third preseason game. It is going to be the one that's most like a regular season game. But you don't want those guys to be out there forever. You want to get them in, get them out. Don't get anyone injured.
One of those guys is Drew Brees, who is expected to play on Saturday. How much do you see him playing on Saturday night?
Well, he speculated that it might be a half. But if they, again, as Drew said, you know, if they have three series and they score touchdowns on all three, he might not, you know, he might come out right after that third one. But he's got to get out there and you know, not necessarily knock off the rust, but, you know, he hadn't worked live game speed with these receivers in this preseason, you know, so this will give him a chance to get his timing back. You know, obviously you want the execution, you want to score the points, but you want to get the timing down more than anything. And, you know, I don't think they want a snap count to get very high. He speculated again, you know, the first half, but he said if it goes bad, then they could go longer than the first half. So, you know, we don't know exactly how long, but I guess two quarters is pretty much the benchmark.
in talking about the secondary on the other side, this seems like you're getting some players back. Jairus Byrd, Champ Bailey, Patrick Robinson, all those guys seeming pretty healthy for tomorrow.
I think once those guys stepped on the practice field Wednesday night in Mandeville, that it was the first time Champ Bailey, Jairus Byrd, Kenny Vaccaro, and Keenan Lewis had been as a starting unit in the Saints secondary since Jairus Byrd got here and since Champ Bailey got here. So it was the first time they've been together. And guys like Byrd and Champ Bailey, they don't need a ton of reps. I mean, they're vets, and Champ Bailey, you know, he's a 12-time Pro Bowler. He's heading to the Hall of Fame. They don't need a lot, but they do need to get some. This is a new defensive system for he and Byrd, so they need to get out there and get the reps in. Keenan Lewis was a little banged up, but he returned to practice. So you just want to see those guys intact and to get a little bit of a rhythm together, kind of get a little, you know, a little something going, a little chemistry to see how they work together.
Is it a benefit then with the Colts being a pretty good offense with Luck, Reggie Wayne and company? This is a good test for Rob Ryan and his defense and just to see how these guys are playing together?
Yeah, I think absolutely, because, you know, even though the Colts won't game plan like they would during the regular season, right, they'll throw something at the Saints. And so you want to see how they respond. You know, T.Y. Hilton is a dynamic wide receiver. He was a rookie last year for the Colts. Reggie Wayne, you know, local kid, went to John Aaron High School. He's supposed to be coming back for the Colts this weekend. We'll see how that goes. So the Colts have some offensive weapons, obviously. Andrew Luck at quarterback, who's very, very, very good at what he does. So they can stretch you. They can stretch you pretty wide, and they can go pretty deep on you. They got somebody who can take the top off, which is T.Y. Hilton. So it'll be a good test for the Saints to see how they fare for one half against a team that they've game planned for and a team that has game planned against them.
Last question on the Saints side: which players should fans look out for as far as players either trying to make the team or position battles or guys coming off of injury?
Well, I mean, I think you got to pay attention to the secondary because you've got some guys back there who've been banged up who haven't played, including Patrick Robinson. Patrick Robinson, Jairus Byrd, and Champ Bailey are three guys who've been banged up a little bit lately. So you want to see if they play and how well they hold up when they're out there. In terms of position battles, you know, the center position, I don't know if it's a great battle. It'll be interesting to see who starts. Because, again, if this is the closest you're going to have to a regular season game, it's important to see who's snapping the ball to Drew Brees, whether it's Jonathan Goodwin or Tim Lelito. And also you have, you know, the receivers. I'm not exactly sure how many Coach Payton's going to keep. If he keeps five, then it could be a battle to the finish between two guys like Nick Toon and Joe Morgan. However, if he keeps six, then those two guys will probably be pretty safe. And, you know, everybody else behind them, depending on how much the Saints like them, to try to get somebody on the practice squad maybe. And the practice squad has been expanded to 10 players now, so you have a little bit more room to work with. And I think, for the most part, those two positions are the ones I'm looking at the most. Safety seems to have kind of cleared itself up. You've got your top three safeties in Byrd, Rafael Bush, and Kenny Vaccaro. You've got your fourth guy who looks like it's going to be Vinny Sinceri, the fifth-round pick. And so the fifth guy, now that might, if they only keep five safeties, that fight's going to be between Marcus Ball and Pierre Warren. And Pierre Warren is an undrafted rookie that they like a whole lot. Marcus Ball came from the CFL, and he's, you know, 27 years old and pretty much a grown man now. But Pierre Warren has really done some things to kind of turn your head a little bit in preseason and training camp. So that'll be interesting to see what happens with that position, because if the Saints only keep five, one of those guys is going to be gone. If they keep six, which is a lot of safeties, but Rob Ryan does play a lot of three safety alignments. But if they keep six, then both of them seem to be pretty safe.
So a lot to look out for tomorrow night in Indianapolis. That's John DeShazer, senior writer for NewOrleansSaints.com. No TV for JD this weekend, as the game will be nationally televised on CBS. But make sure to check out his work on the website this weekend, as him and Sean Kelly will have full coverage from Lucas Oil Stadium. JD, safe travels, my friend.
Thank you. It'll be good to go to Indy and turn around, as opposed to being somewhere for 25 days like we were in West Virginia. So it'll be good to get home on Sunday and have a day off.
There you go. When we come back, we'll get the Colts' perspective on tomorrow's game with Bob Kravitz from WTHR in Indianapolis.
Gatorade knows every victory starts from within. It's the determination to come up big when it matters most. But no athlete does it alone. They need training and fuel to perform. That's how greatness comes from within. Win from within. It's a whole lot of cash.
Lotto's all across Louisiana, with cash jackpots starting at $250,000. That's a whole lot of cash. From the neon lights of Shreveport-Bossier City to the banks of Grand Isle, Lotto is your game. It doesn't leave the state, and there's nothing like it anywhere else. It's Louisiana fun just for Louisiana. Lotto, it's a whole lot of cash. Must be at least 21 to purchase.
Visit Pelicans.com and sign up to be a Pelicans insider today. You'll get inside access to an exclusive presale for tickets to Pelicans opening night for the 2014-15 season. Sign up now to be an insider at Pelicans.com.
We call it No Appointment Radio. You're listening to the Black and Blue Report.
Well, we just heard from our John DeShazer and got a Saints point of view for tomorrow's game, and now it's time to hear from Colts camp. Joining me on the phone is Bob Kravitz, who covered the Colts for the Indianapolis Star for 14 years and recently accepted a job with WTHR 13. Bob, thanks for coming on and congrats on the new gig.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Bob, the Colts had that huge comeback in the AFC wildcard last season against the Chiefs and then fell to the Patriots in the divisional round. What are expectations from the team and fans heading into this season?
I think most people look at this team and think they're a double-digit victory team. You know, they've won 11 games each of the last 2 years while really completely rebuilding with a new quarterback and new faces pretty much everywhere in the roster. So, you know, I think the feeling here is that Andrew Luck really comes of age and makes that big third-year jump that you see from all the top quarterbacks. And they win 10 to 12 games. They have a very easy schedule, at least it looks that way right now on paper. And they play in the AFC South, which is arguably the worst division in football. So you got to think they're going to go at least 5-1 in the division. So I think expectations here are very high, that they are really kind of on the second level, right behind New England and Denver to come out of the AFC and represent the conference.
Now, the Colts have lost their first two preseason games. That really doesn't mean much in the grand scheme of things. But what have you seen from this team in those two games?
Well, the first team has been terrific. You know, they've moved the ball really well with Andrew Luck, especially when they go no huddle. They've looked terrific. The real revelation of the preseason, to the extent that it's possible to have a preseason revelation, is the defense. The front seven looks right now like it's going to be the best front seven they've had since Ryan Grigson and Chuck Pagano came in. They added Art Jones. They added DeQuell Jackson. These guys can play. They're getting some great contributions from their first-round pick last year, Bjorn Werner, who's going to have to play really well those first four games while Robert Mathis is out serving a suspension. So they've been very, very pleased with the production they've gotten from their defense. And they've looked very good except for that fourth quarter when you're playing third and fourth stringers and they give up 27 points. But beyond that, they look very ready for their regular season. But we'll find out a lot more against a great quarterback like Drew Brees and a dynamic offense like the Saints.
Now, Indy ranked 20th in total defense last season, and like you said, you've been impressed with them in these first two preseason games. Do you expect them to be a lot better this season than they were last?
I do, especially because of that front seven. If they can stay healthy. Now, there are still some questions, especially at the safety. They lost Alano Howell probably for the season with a neck injury, so they're really struggling right now to find who their free safety is going to be. They need a really big season from LaRon Landry, who I thought was very average at best last year. But this front seven has shown that it can produce a pass rush without blitzing the house. I think they will be a top half of the league defense. And if they can do that, if they can be in the top 15, I think they've got a chance to win a whole lot of football games because this offense, especially the passing offense, is going to be terrific.
We're talking with Bob Kravitz, who covers the Colts for WTHR 13, previously with the Indianapolis Star. Let's go back to the offense for the Colts. They already have Reggie Wayne, T.Y. Hilton, Cody Fleemer with the receivers and the tight ends. Now they add Akeem Nix. What does he bring to this already solid offense?
Well, the biggest upgrade to me is Dwayne Allen. Dwayne Allen coming back at tight end from a season-ending injury last year. Hakeem Nicks looks great against the Giants. It's too bad they can't play the Giants 16 times because I think he'd probably lead the league in receptions. Hakeem Nicks has been very average in practice, but when the lights have gone on, he's been very good. I mean, that's a pretty good team when your third wide receiver is a guy who, you know, caught for over 1,000 yards worth of passes just a couple years ago. And granted, he's coming off two down years because of injuries, but, you know, they go pretty deep with Reggie, T.Y., Hakeem Nicks. They love this rookie, Dante Moncrief, then Derek Rogers and Griff Whalen. This is as deep a receiving core as I've seen in quite some time here in Indy.
Now, preseason game number three means, for the most part, the starters get a good chance of playing a lot more, get more snaps. Do we see that with the Colts, too? Do we see Andrew Luck a lot more than in games one and two?
Yeah, I would suspect that he's going to play into the third quarter. I mean, this is a dress rehearsal. They do game plan for these. Really, the big question here in Indy is whether Reggie Wayne and Robert Mathis will play. Reggie has been trying to talk Chuck Pagano into letting him on the field to play. So I think that's what they call a game-time decision. I think they've already made their minds up, but they're not going to play their hand. And do you get Robert Mathis out there when he's going to miss the first four games of the regular season? So there's a question there. But, yeah, they're going to play their starters, I would suspect, into the third quarter.
So for Saints fans that don't know too much about the Colts and their players, who should Saints fans look out for tonight as far as Colts players and who to watch for?
People to watch for. I'll tell you what, defensively, like I mentioned before, Bjorn Werner has been absolutely terrific. He has just flashed ever since the first day of training camp. He has been their best defensive player, so I'd watch for him in the pass rush. T.Y. Hilton is a guy, you know, because of the addition, because Allen came back and then you got Hakeem Nicks, they've been able to move T.Y. all over the place. And he is just so dangerous, especially on the inside, going up, getting mismatches. So I would watch for T.Y. Hilton in the deep passing game.
Well, it should be a good game to say the least. Even though it's preseason, two dynamic offenses going head-to-head. Should be good time Saturday night in Indy. That's Bob Kravitz from WTHR Channel 13 in Indianapolis. Bob, again, congrats on the new gig and enjoy the game tomorrow night.
Okay, thanks so much.
When we come back, we'll turn our attention to basketball and hear from Pelicans.com writer Jim Eichenhofer. You're listening to the Black and Blue Report.
At the Ochsner Hospital for Children, no matter where you turn, you're surrounded by bravery. Children and teens dealing with health problems beyond their years. Parents working hard to keep the worry from their face. Doctors and nurses doing everything possible to get them back home, where they belong. From rare brain tumors and leukemia to heart conditions and organ transplants, we offer a level of pediatric care unmatched in Louisiana. With more advanced capabilities than any other children's hospital in the region, even our kids-only ER can handle any pediatric emergency. In fact, the only thing tougher than the problems we see every day are the kids themselves. Choose the Ochsner Hospital for Children and never wonder if you could have done more. Call 866-OCHSNER to find an affiliated pediatrician near you. Ochsner, healthcare with peace of mind.
We're talking Pelicans basketball on the Black and Blue Report.
Time to talk a little basketball on the show, and here to talk about Team USA and the Pelicans preseason schedule is none other than Pelicans.com writer Jim Eichenhofer. Jim, as always, it's a pleasure having you in Studio B, and I hope you enjoyed the fruit basket in your green room this morning.
Likewise, Daniel. It's always great to be here. I'm happy to stop by whenever you need me.
I also picked out the red M&Ms just like you wanted to. I know your demands are pretty high on a Friday.
Yeah, I'm impressed that you actually listened to all of my requests and were able to check off everything on my lengthy list of demands.
We give the guests what they want here, Jim. This is the Black and Blue Report. No expenses. We do it all.
I can tell.
Jim, on Wednesday night, the USA dominated the Dominican Republic 105-62. Anthony Davis, 16 minutes of play, 7 points, 4 rebounds, 2 block shots. Not a bad day at the office for 16 minutes. What did you see out of AD and Team USA in that scrimmage?
Well, it was a little bit of a quiet offensive game compared to what he did in the previous game, but it seemed like they were looking for him a lot, as you can expect after he had the huge game he had against Brazil. But there was a few missed exchanges. I think they had a couple alley-oop attempts that didn't connect, and a couple other plays where the timing was a little off. But I mean, he only played like the first couple minutes of I want to say maybe three or four quarters, so he wasn't really out there for a big stretch, as you can tell by the fact that he only played 16 minutes. But I mean, USA team looked really good. They don't need him to have a huge game every night. And the Dominican Republic is actually one of the teams that they're going to play in Group C. So hopefully for them, it was a sign of things to come. They obviously didn't have a whole lot of trouble with them. I thought the Dominican Republic actually played pretty well in parts of the first half, but it was still 22-point margin at halftime, and then it just got completely out of hand in the second half.
Yeah, they're missing their best player, Al Horford, but I don't think that would have covered the 40-point differential there.
They're probably not.
If you look back at July 14th when the USA team narrowed their roster down to 19, and looking at it now, it's actually in just 1 month span pretty drastically different there, Jim.
Yeah, it's one thing that I noticed recently is just it's really kind of jarring if you look at it. There's been about five or six guys that for various reasons there's been a few withdrawals, like Kevin Durant, Blake Griffin, Kevin Love, all since, like you said, July 14th. Obviously, everyone knows what happened with Paul George. Derrick Rose has, some much-discussed injury concerns right now. DeMarcus Cousins had some injury issues recently. So it's unfortunate that there's just been so much unexpected things that have happened with the roster. And unfortunately, from a big-picture standpoint, I feel like the reason that they've come up with the multi-year program the last few years is because they want to have chemistry and continuity on the roster. But when you have so many last minute changes like this, I think it's a little bit of a concern. I think against certain teams that they're, far more talented than, you're not going to have too many problems. But when you start playing against teams like Spain and teams that have been together for a while, I do wonder a little bit if that's something that people need to take a close look at, is just the fact that there's a lot of guys that are kind of recently been thrown into the mix, like Rudy Gay and Mason Plumlee, and the master plan of having a bunch of guys that have all played a lot together has kind of disintegrated just based on so many things that were out of everyone's control.
To play devil's advocate a little bit, do you think some of this just has to do with it's only because they're playing for the FIBA World Cup and not the Olympics? Do you think some of these guys that may back out last minute, contract situations, might not back out if this was in Rio for 2016?
Yeah, I think that's definitely a good point. And I think one thing I thought about recently, too, is it seems like there's kind of a domino effect with guys. I think leading up to the last Olympics, it was like one or two of the top guys said, hey, I'm committing to play. A couple more guys would say, hey, if they're going to be there, I want to play too. But I feel in some ways it's kind of the opposite domino effect can happen as well, where if a couple guys withdraw, it makes it a little bit easier from a public perception standpoint for other guys to drop out. And so I think it's possible that's happened a little bit too, that, the more guys that say, I need to rest, I need to get ready for the season, the easier it is for other guys to kind of follow suit. So, but I think you're right that there's definitely a little bit of a perception that the Olympics is a once in a lifetime thing, where it's something you'll remember forever. The World Championships, I think, are being held in higher esteem as time goes on, but they're still not even close to that level that the Olympics is perceived as.
We're talking with Pelicans.com writer Jim Eichenhofer. Jim, there's millions of articles out there, rankings, positions, teams. ESPN forecast came out there. Pelicans were number two with team turnaround. But one caught my eye this morning. Bradford Doolittle of ESPN.com Insider was ranking the power forwards this morning based on WARP, which is wins above replacement players. AD came in at number one, which is a nice thing to have AD being recognized. Is that something, could we take anything away from this? Or is it just, hey, it's good to see AD being recognized for some of these things?
I kind of see it both ways. I think there's a million different new metrics and analytics that people have come up with that you can kind of use to prove anything. But on the other hand, I think it's been great this summer, the past few months, since the Pelicans played last in April, that you've seen the attention and the acclaim for him just kind of skyrocket. The fact that people have really constantly recognized him for how good of a player he is, and also how good he's going to be down the road. So with a team that isn't on national TV a lot, and I think only had maybe one or two last year, and is scheduled for, I think, two coming up, it's good to see him get, you know, the recognition that he deserves, because there are a lot of casual fans that haven't seen him play, and some of the USA stuff has actually kind of been eye-opening, I think, for people that didn't watch the New Orleans play last season.
Hopefully the attention keeps going here with AD and what they will see from him at the FIBA World Cup. Let's go turn our attention. Preseason schedule officially announced for the Pelicans. Pretty interesting stuff as far as Pelicans will only play 7 preseason games instead of the normal 8. Don't know if that's that big of a deal, but I just want to hear your take on is the difference between 7 and 8 games, if there is any difference, really.
I don't think there's that big of a difference. I mean, in some ways you could say it's a positive because there's more days between games. There's no back-to-backs. It seems like, you know, they're going to be able to practice a lot more consistently. You definitely don't want a situation where even in preseason you're having trouble getting practices in. So I think that's good. I've noticed, though, that if there's more teams this year that are playing 7 preseason games across the league than 8 than I've seen in the past. I'm not sure what the reason for that is. If maybe teams are, you know, have made a kind of a big picture decision that it might be wise to scale back a little bit from what has been done in the past. But, I don't think it'll be that big of an impact. If anything, it might be a positive for the Pelicans.
Now, some of those games that stick out, 2 of those 7 are at home, 1 against the Oklahoma City Thunder, 1 against the Houston Rockets, both those October 14th and the 16th. Besides those two games, which ones catch your eye, or just what do you see from the schedule?
It's funny, when people saw the schedule officially come out yesterday, it almost seems like it was intentional that there were some tie-ins between guys on the Pelicans roster and some of the sites of the games. But actually, I'd seen some of these as possible places for games, for preseason games, a couple months back before any of these guys were even a part of the equation. But obviously the opener for preseason is in Louisville, so Russ Smith is going to have the really cool and unique experience of playing his first NBA game back where he played college basketball and was ultra successful. The other tie-in is I think Patrick Young was tweeting about this yesterday when he saw the schedule, that the third game is in Jacksonville, which is, you know, where he's from. So he's excited already about being able to play, you know, back in Florida so early in his career. And the third one is the second to last preseason game on October 20th is kind of a return to where Monty Williams is from, at least that area. So from the Washington, D.C. area, that they play in Baltimore, which is just down the road. So there's a lot of cool tie-ins between guys on the Pelicans and where some of these games are being played, even though really none of this was intentional. It just kind of all worked out coincidentally in a good way.
Yeah, so like you mentioned, October 4th versus Miami at Louisville. It's counted as a road game. Then at Atlanta on the 6th, which is a road game. Then the 8th is considered a home game, like you mentioned, against the Wizards in Jacksonville. Play the Wizards twice, once in Baltimore on the 20th and then the 8th. And then, as I mentioned, 14th and 16th are home games, and then they end it in Bossier City, Louisiana, which I think is actually closer to Dallas, who we're playing, than it is for New Orleans.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about it, but I've heard people say that at least prior to the Hornets moving here, that was a pretty big Mavericks area. So, I mean, that'll be interesting to see what kind of, you know, what the crowd looks like as far as people that are there rooting for Dallas and people that are rooting for the Pelicans.
Well, hopefully Pelicans fans can show up for that one and all the games, especially the 14th and the 16th at home against Houston in OKC. Jim, what's coming up next on anything coming up on Pelicans.com in the next few days?
Well, I'm going to be, you know, tweeting and following the USA game tonight. They play Puerto Rico tonight. They play next Tuesday as well, their last exhibition game. Some of the Pelicans players, we'll probably get into further detail on that next week, but some of the guys are going to be coming into town next week, and actually a couple of them are already here, so we're going to try to see what we can do with those guys and set up some different interviews and some different articles, and just it's still pretty early, but it's kind of nice to get into talking about next season and being able to see some of the players come into New Orleans already.
We're also efforting to get you more Pelicans players on the Black and Blue Report next week. I think I saw Ryan Anderson tweeted he's back, so good to see him back and a couple other players as well. That's Pelicans.com writer Jim Eichenhofer here on the Black and Blue Report. Jim, thanks for coming on, and try to stay out of trouble this weekend.
I can't promise you anything, but anyways, thanks for having me, Daniel, as always.
When we come back, I'll wrap things up. You're listening to the Black and Blue Report.
Everything you need to know about your New Orleans Pelicans is right in the palm of your hands. The New Orleans Pelicans app is easy to use, plus makes an excellent companion whether you're watching the team in the Smoothie King Center or on the road. Recently added features on the app include the latest videos and highlights, plus access to a full list of arena amenities. Download the Pelicans app for free now on your iPhone or Android devices. For more information, check out Pelicans.com today.
Smoothie King asks, what's your purpose?
My name is Trish, and I want more balance in my life. I feel like all I do is rush from one place to the next and end up grabbing a burger along the way. And then I feel guilty, and I start thinking I need to spend an hour on the elliptical, but I don't have time. I want to eat better. I want to feel better. That's my purpose.
We can blend that. Find your balance with the new Greek yogurt smoothies naturally powered by Chobani. Find pleasure in your purpose at Smoothie King.
Welcome back to the Black and Blue Report.
I had fun hosting today's show. Sean Kelly will be back on Monday with a full recap of Saturday's Saints preseason game. We're also efforting to get some more Pelicans players next week as they trickle into the Big Easy and start working out at the facility right across from Studio B. Don't forget you can follow the show on Twitter at Black Blue Report or myself at D. Salerson. Also follow Sean Kelly at Sean Kelly Live and John DeShazer at John DeShazer this weekend. They'll be tweeting during the game, and you can also get interviews and other videos at NewOrleansSaints.com. Thanks to JD, Bob Kravitz, and Jim Eichenhofer for coming on the show. And thank you, the fans, for another great week of the Black and Blue Report. Monday's show with Frank Caliendo, John Stinchcomb, Jeff Withey, and Kenny Vaccaro was a new Black and Blue Report record for listeners. So we appreciate you guys for tuning in every day. The podcast for Saints and Pelicans fans. If you have any suggestions for guests you want on the show, you can tweet me or Sean Kelly. You can also email us, radio@pelicans.com. Well, that'll do it for today's show. Until next time, I'm Daniel Salerson. Have a fantastic weekend.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Black and Blue Report. If all goes well, we'll be back next week. Tune in each weekday at 12 p.m. or at your convenience exclusively online at NewOrleansSaints.com and Pelicans.com. Follow your teams direct from the source, the Black and Blue Report.